songs we were singing. Well, resurrection.
On Thursday,
according to the scriptures,
working on this message,
the men of old,
I fell asleep at the computer.
Guys like Noah and Abraham and Moses and all those guys in the Old Testament. And though
hopefully it's gotten more exciting in
the concerning
the
Christ,
whatever.
It says that they glimpsed something from
that
afar.
Had more to do with other conditions.
They saw something themselves. Of the hope and the promise.
This is
from
the message
afar,
I was going to give you last Sunday.
See
to prepare for the message I intended to give you this Sunday.
Not see the whole thing.
But Steve wanted
to preach.
They
went
to
the grave.
I didn't know if he would want to
resting their faith.
He was ready
in
to
a
go.
Hope,
so
a promise that they didn't.
I had to make this message wasn't really an Easter Sunday message. Next Sunday,
take care of things. Do something.
It was going to be this Sunday.
And the scriptures also say even the angels longed to look into
in line with
these things
the
and
theme of resurrection and Easter Sunday.
But it wasn't until
there's resurrection
and raised from the
Romans
dead.
Chapter 7 I'm talking about this morning. And there is some resurrection in Romans chapter 7. So
and to be understanding.
We'll get there.
Even then, the disciples needed some enlightenment from Jesus himself.
But just by way of introduction, you know, there's, well, I suppose
when
there's
Jesus
different ways of looking at it, but I think there's two kinds of religion in the world.
I can just imagine.
Just talking about religion.
That God had to restrain.
The religion that tries to perfect
Jesus
our behavior.
Jesus himself said, if I want to call
things that we say and do and
to defend me, I have 10,000 times
10,000
angels will be
regulation,
here right now.
Rituals to try to make us perfect in our behavior.
I can just, you know,
and
I'm sure
then
they
there are religions that try to perfect
to
our knowledge.
The word was given
through enlightenment or alternate states of consciousness.
That plan was resurrection.
A pathway, supposedly, to perfection.
And that resurrection was for
so
us.
So on the one hand, we have religions like
Jesus
Judaism
himself had no reason
Islam
to die and be raised
and
again
Mormonism,
for his own sake.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
For us.
Things like that that all focus on behavior.
And,
trying to
because of his resurrection,
behavior.
We anticipate
and even secular humanism. Can be
there's already been a resurrection inside of us. If we believe in Christ, our spirit
trying to
has been revived.
The rules of political
we've received a new life within us. And we look forward to a day when we will receive a new
and do
resurrection
just
body.
Right, so that nobody is ever offended.
We're united with
or you
him.
See people who are motivated to do good works.
Whenever that comes.
Through social work or environmental
one of those things
that, like
that, just like the men of old had to kind
it's
of
not that good
see
works
something
are bad.
From afar and not quite fully understand it,
by
but just put their faith
good.
In God. There's some
good
things
works.
For us.
But in and
still
of
in the future,
they don't
not fully
anyone.
Aware of all the details of how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen, but we believe.
With God.
Believe God said it will happen. So
there's these other religions, on the other hand, that focus on enlightenment.
His time.
And
hallelujah.
Paths to transcend
to
the physical life. And
we're going to take some time
like
with
Hinduism
here, if someone
and Buddhism. And all their Eastern mystics
something
and
in your heart,
cousins.
Like share something for a couple
and
minutes.
Some practices that are common in our culture qualify. As enlightenment types of religion or offshoots of religion, transcendental meditation, visualization, even aspects of yoga and martial arts training come from those forms of religion. And then in our Western culture, we have other forms of enlightenment.
I was pretty tired.
They come from the areas of science,
and you meet for
mathematics,
and Susie,
technology. People are trying to perfect knowledge,
friend of mine,
learn all about the universe and
would
how
you like
it
some
works.
Fish? I was up on the Red Lake, someplace, or river, wherever there's. walleye
there's
fishing
another
right
stream
now
that has to do with psychology
rotten
and
fresh
sociology and anthropology.
So the Lord is good.
For something, all kinds of forms of
Jesse,
religion that we can see in the world. But what we have with Christianity, of course, is not a religion. It's a relationship. And it's not what you do. It's who you're related to.
Clear revelation. I choose the road to somewhere. I post your road signs at every curve.
Who we're related to. Like when you meet someone for the first time, what are the questions you ask a person? Well, one of the things we always ask is, what do you do?
I love traveling.
That's what defines a person. I'm a teacher. I'm an artist. I'm a lumberjack. I'm a construction worker. I'm a pastor.
And taught me.
But you know what? It's not what we do that really counts. It's who we're related to.
And then I've also got Psalm 34.
And of course, sometimes we do ask, you know, who are you related to? Oh, you're part of that family. Oh, yeah, we know about those people. And again, it's not.
I will exalt
you
the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips.
And
who
knows
you? My soul
will
boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
Of course. Speaking
glorify
of Jesus
the
Christ,
Lord.
With,
let us exalt his name together.
Infinitely better than that religion.
The Lord.
Singing about the glory. Resurrection.
Those who look to him are radiant.
Rose from the dead.
Their faces are never covered with shame.
That's better
this
than
poor man called
all the rituals
and the Lord
all the regulations.
He saved him
out of all
his troubles.
Meditative practices.
The angel
and
of the
anything
Lord
else
around those who
you
hear
take those and wad them up
and
throw them
in
the waste paper basket because we
taste
have
and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord.
So in Romans
you
chapter 6, Paul talks about how we are identified
the lion
with
may
Christ.
Grow weak,
and when Christ died, we died.
But those who
with
seek
him.
The Lord lack no
old man, flesh,
children, listen
sin nature.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
All died with him.
Whoever
identified
of you
with him
and
was counted
to see
on
good
his
days.
Account.
Keep your
God put it all on him.
And your lips from speaking
for our sakes.
Turn from evil and
sin so that we could be
seeking peace
and righteous.
Pursue it.
2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yes, the Lord,
no sin be sin for
his
us.
Ears are attentive.
We might become the righteousness of God.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
We
cut off
about
the memory of them from the earth.
That transformation. An elemental transformation.
The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them.
If you are taking
some
common, ordinary substance, turning it into gold, well, you need nuclear power to do that. You can't do that by ordinary process.
Have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them.
You can't take sinners and turn them into saints.
He protects
by any ordinary practice. It takes the power of resurrection.
Evil will lay this
bid for us.
Evil will.
Now, when it says that we have become the righteousness
of the
God
will be
in Him, now there are some aspects of that we don't see with the eyes of our flesh because
no one will
we live in the here and now.
Takes refuge in him.
And
Psalms 34.
You know, the crucifixion was an event that took place at a certain point in history, but the effects of that transcend
the kingdom of light
time. When Jesus died on the cross, that affected the past.
For that.
The present and the future.
Thank you.
And when we get to eternity, and when we receive our new resurrection bodies, then we will see the full effect manifest.
I just want to share a revelation I had this past week.
Then it'll be evident.
My oldest son,
old
Nick, was going to come live with us,
God.
But he's not living with us.
Right.
He comes to the house to shower, to eat, and kind of
done away.
Dead and
worried.
And God just kind of showed me that no matter what I do sometimes, I get myself freaked out if I ask
for something.
You know, take nuggets from him and
call it a mountain.
But when he died on the cross, it was to get us ready to enter his presence and abide there, to live there. And
the resurrection of Jesus isn't just
get to where he wants us to be with his death, then we haven't really taken advantage of all
that. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. It happened. An astounding event. Greatest event in history. But when we put our faith in the resurrection of Jesus, we're not simply saying we believe that it happened.
Thomas was very touched. As I came into the church this morning, I got a text. I'm thinking that it's from my children wishing me happy Easter and in their suffering.
Resurrection is a
didn't have the number when I in my text it shut off. It comes right up before me, so I have
are
to
going
see
on
it right away.
Right now.
I got a message from someone.
In fact, the effects of the resurrection have been going on since before the beginning of time.
Text message. You can imagine.
God was applying the benefits.
It obviously comes from someone who
before
knows my
it actually happened.
Who knows my number. And I was really upset
God
about
gave.
It. And as we started worshiping, I was in and out of worship, and I thought, I am not, I had my
every time he
and I thought, I'm not going to let this disturb me. This is the Lord's day.
Christ
his resurrection day, and we are to celebrate it.
That
he's given us
here.
And as I was singing, worshiping the Lord,
God knew the resurrection
was going. So I'm thinking of all the main things I could say back. I could text back.
Very
and, you know, and I had some pretty powerful, real mean things, too, to say. And then I cried out to the Lord.
Did so because he was already confident and fully committed
done for us.
Doing what
and as I, you know, was looking at the
redemption was already
the Psalms here, you know, with Psalm 34:13, where it says, keep your tongue from evil. And the Lord kind of spoke to my heart and said, keep your text from evil. You know, do not respond to this. You know, bless them. Bless them. And it doesn't matter who it is. I do have my suspicions. But it is so mild on the Lord today. And I just am very upset. But I will bless them. We are to bless our enemies because the Lord is our avenger.
I really want a family. And if this is the price I have to pay, I will pay.
And I just thought, praise God, he's risen, he's risen indeed. And I thought about my growing up as a young child and my family.
Resurrection is something
to
that happened in
but it was just like I was in a slumber. And I remember
these
sitting in church and longing to know more of God, but not knowing how to do that. And we would be saying in 100 days, Jesus Christ is risen today. It was like a dirge.
Not religion.
Today, you know, it's like,
not rules. It's
you guys don't look like you believe this. No smiles, no joy, no energy, no anything.
Bursting out of
God,
the grave.
God, they woke me up, you know. And I pray for all of those who are seeking, because people don't go to church for fun, generally. I mean, maybe sometimes, but, you know, our hearts are longing to know Christ more. And so I'm grateful that I woke up and that I know Jesus Christ is living today. It's true and it's real. It's real for all of us. We need to just receive it like Stephen said, you know, basking. It's like God's glory and His love and His relationship for us is right there. We just have to sit still and receive it. So thanks for being excited and alive with me.
Talking about that, I was reminded when I was in Africa, we would hear the
one of those chapters that you have to read it kind of carefully because some of the wording is
by 4:30 in the morning, waking us up so that we could go up, climb up the mountain.
He says, do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law.
And there we would sit
that the law
and
has
wait
over a man
until the sun came up.
For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, he is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, but if her husband dies, she is breaching that law, so that she is no adulteress, so she is married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law in the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, and we should bear fruit. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to that which we were held by, so that we can serve in the newness of the Spirit.
Probably because they flew
on what you would say the law of sin. Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except for the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, "You shall not covet."
Thank you for the prayers.
But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires.
Adam and Cheryl
apart from the law, sin was dead. And I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and the holidays,
so it's kind of a question.
Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good.
And
then what is good become death to me, certainly
out of Jerusalem,
sin that it might appear sin is producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. And now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but
sin. Was sharing up here and mentioned our half-family had lost
back and forth. Tricky.
Some boys, Clearbrook.
I don't.
And mention that this morning.
I find
too.
Then a law that evil is present with me, the one who will
three boys,
do good.
It's all three of them.
Light in the law of God, for it's inward man, but I see another law in my memory, one day
survives the law of
my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of
to our knowledge. And two boys drowned, one survived, but I'm sure he'll have
Christ
a struggle.
So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
Tragedy for the family.
The law of sin.
We'll pray for them in a second. And most of you probably have heard on the prayer chain or the grapevine about Emmy Totsauer.
Describing
been
the
diagnosed with aggressive cancer, stage 3 cancer, ovaries, and spreading to other organs. And I believe she's scheduled for surgery sometime this coming week. Does anybody know what day that would be? Or
and a lot of people view
Thursday.
Romans 7 as kind of a downer.
So just her in your prayers.
Romans 6 is a kind of positive.
And Chris Parsons. We talked to John last week. And John and Chris are making plans
how can I get out
to
of this mess.
Come back
and then we have
by the end of the month.
Which brings us up again. but
forging ahead with definite plans.
Lately, I've been seeing that actually.
In fact, John has a commitment the first weekend of May to videotape a conference down in the cities, and so he
is see it in the right light.
He's fully planning to be back here.
Line and a song.
However,
I think the last
this week,
last
Chris is going to undergo some radiation treatments.
No guilt in life.
Because she has some enlarged lymph nodes in her back that have been causing her pain. And the doctors haven't done a biopsy. They aren't
no guilt
specifically using the word cancer.
Anybody here live with no guilt? No guilt at all.
They're treating her for cancer.
No fear.
So they believe the cancer is...
Not afraid to die at all.
And a previous set of doctors who weren't going to do anything for her, look at her. They've got a doctor now who is much more encouraging and helpful. And this doctor believes she can target the radiation right at the point where it needs to be and hopefully not do any more damage. But anyway, so Chris and Craig continue to look for God's work there.
Author of that song.
So just join with me and lift up these things this morning. Father in heaven, first of all, we just lift up to you this family, the tragedy of losing two of their sons on Friday. And we just pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and minds in the midst of grief and sorrow. I pray, Lord, that you would be able to reveal something of your hope. And bring to them the consolation of the gospel and the hope of resurrection.
Take a show of hands.
that this is not the end of the relationship.
Too far, but
that there can be a hope of reunion because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give them every support, help, and strength that they need to cope. Father, we just lift up Emmy Totsaw with you and all the whole Totsaw family, Dwayne and the girls, Lord. We just pray that your spirit will be encouraging them this morning and strengthening them with hope and faith in you. And Lord, we would ask for a miracle in Emmy's body.
No matter how
Lord, that you would rebuke the cancer, evict the cancer from her body, and restore her to health, Lord. We ask that in Jesus' name.
And they're never shy about
your wisdom upon the doctors that look at her and diagnose her and potentially treat her, Lord, that you would guide them. But we do pray, Lord, according to your resurrection power and what your scriptures say, by your stripes we are healed.
But it's still,
we pray that Emmy would be healed. And we continue to lift up Chris Parsons to you, Lord, this morning, asking for your healing to be manifest in her body. And that you would restore her, Lord, restore her from cancer, restore her from the treatments for cancer, restore health to her body in every part of her, Lord, you would ask in Jesus' name. And that you would demonstrate your resurrection power.
Or you end up being depressed and just give up.
Amen.
Happens sometimes out there in the world. Or you put on a happy face and cover it up. Pretend everything's
fine. We can probably let
you know that's a lie. That's kind of what being married to the law, whether it's the law of Moses or any form of religious legalism, that's what it's like. And the problem with the law isn't that the law is bad. In fact, the law is very good. The things that the law says to do are all good things. In fact, Paul says God's law is holy. But as good and holy as the law is, it cannot make you holy and good. Doesn't have the power to do that. And it cannot forgive your sins. And it cannot deliver you from your sin nature. It's just powerless to do that. It can't transform your basic humanity into God-likeness. It can show you what God is like and say you ought to be like that, but it can't actually make you like that. All it can do is reveal your shortcomings, show you your failures. Now, the law does not intend to be an abusive husband. But is just not equipped to help us. It's not equipped to nurture us. It can only instruct and correct us. It can't really help us. That's kind of the proper function of the law anyway. Paul writes in Galatians 3 that before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law and kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor or our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or a schoolmaster. God's purpose for the law was to prepare fallen man for the revelation of Christ, so that through Christ we could be justified by faith and everything that goes along with that, being forgiven, saved, cleansed, sanctified, sealed for eternity, all the benefits that come from a relationship with Christ. You may have known someone who was in an abusive relationship. Seems to be a lot of them in the world out there. And you might have thought, well, why doesn't she or he, in some cases, get out of that relationship? It's so bad. Why don't they leave before it's too late? And they end up in the news. There's another tragedy. And we see that too often people stay in these dysfunctional and toxic relationships because they have this unhealthy, codependent thing going on where they're actually addicted to the abuse. And their identity is based on that relationship. And they can't see themselves in any other light. You know, and just being humans, we're often too proud to ask for help and too afraid of the unknown to risk change. The evil that I know is better than what might be out there, so I'll just stick with what I know. And then often those who leave an abusive relationship end up in another abusive relationship. They just gravitate towards a similar circumstance. And that's kind of how we are with the law. The legalist mindset, the religious mindset. We can't stop dancing with a partner who's always kicking us in the shins. I don't know if any of you are dancers, have ever had that problem. In my case, I would be the partner who would be doing the kicking and the shins. You know, it's our fault if the law is kicking us and stepping on our toes, that's our fault because we're the ones out of sync with the music. We're the ones that don't have any rhythm. But it still hurts. And it'll be the death of us. Because we'll never dance perfectly. And the law has no choice but to kill us in the end. Penalty of sin is death. But there's another partner that comes along. Wants to sweep us off our feet. Literally. Who's willing to dance with us. Who's willing to accommodate our weakness and our lack of rhythm. Who will actually carry us along until we start to feel the music inside of us. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus, the grace of our Lord. And all we have to do is stop trying to dance with the law. Stop trying to fulfill the requirements of the law in our own strength. Just fall down dead, basically. The law has already declared you dead in your sins and trespasses, so fall down dead and let Jesus pick you up off the floor. So what good is the law? Paul asks. Where does that fit into the scheme of things? Well, the law can be very helpful at doing what it was designed to do, which was expose our sin. Our sin nature has this perverse relationship with the law. When there is no specific commandment, sin kind of lies dormant. It's not that it's gone, it just kind of lies there, and we can look pretty good in the flesh. But then a commandment comes along. And look out, because sin rises up. Kind of like a big old sea monster coming up out of the deep blue sea. That rebellion in us against the law. You know, have you ever surprised yourself? Dismayed yourself at the things you are capable of? On occasion? Maybe lying, cheating, stealing, cursing, anger. Maybe you've just all lived perfectly and never done anything bad. I don't. But have you ever surprised yourself at what you were capable of? Where did that come from? Well, the truth is we're all capable of the most heinous crimes in the flesh. We might like to distance ourselves from the serial murderers and the Adolf Hitlers and the Saddam Husseins and whoever we think is really nasty and horrible, but in truth, in the flesh, we're all lumped. We're all capable. Maybe we didn't go that way. There but for the grace of God go I. Should be our attitude. I would be like that if it wasn't for the grace of God. But when we do sin, what happens then? It happens from time to time. So what do you do? Do you run to the temple and sacrifice up a goat or a bull? And you put extra money in the offering next Sunday at church? Or try to meditate it away into nirvanic nothingness? What do you do with sin? I mean, the law has its solution. What do? Just recognize the source. Where did this sin come from? Oh, yeah. This is that pesky law of sin and death dwelling in my members, in my flesh. It's not me. The me that I am in Christ, the new identity that I have from Christ, does not sin. The new life given to me by the Holy Spirit, born again into me, that life does not sin. It's this other stuff. Sin dwelling in my members. It's nasty stuff, but there's a cure for it. There's actually a cure for it. Very simple cure. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's all there is to it. He's faithful and just. He forgives us, He cleanses us, He puts it away from us as far as the east is from the west. It attaches to us no longer, ever, forever. It's not accounted to our account. It's gone. God Himself remembers it no more. When He looks at us, it never crosses His mind. It's all about remembering who we are in Christ. Sin is not our identity. It's completely removed by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Gone. When you died with Him, your old identity was canceled out. And you were raised up with Him as a new creation. His resurrection is our resurrection. Romans 6 says we need to count and reckon on that baptism of death and resurrection as the truth of who we are now and forever. That's who we are. So if we do happen to sin, there's no need to dwell on it and get miserable and beat on ourselves and do some kind of penance and all of this other stuff. Confession is not some kind of morbid self-punishment that we inflict on ourselves. It's simply setting the record straight. You know, I'm sorry. I let my flesh think it was alive for a moment there, but that's not really who I am. I'm a child of God. His blood paid for that sin. I'm here to move on with my new life in the Spirit. So thank you, Lord. Some people debate about Romans chapter 7, about whether is this describing the life of the unbeliever or the life of the Christian. And some say, well, it has to be the unbeliever because a true Christian would never go through any of these struggles and conflicts. And they would never sin like that. And then others look at that chapter and they say, well, that's the normal Christian life. That's just the way it's going to be until we get to heaven. When I say the normal Christian life, that's not Watchman Nee's version, if you've ever read his. It's the version that never gets around to reading chapter 8 of Romans. Well, I don't think it matters whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. In this respect, no one is justified by the works of the law. That's just blanket across the board for everyone. No one earns righteousness by what they do or they don't do in this life. Everyone who tries to perform in the flesh will fail. You'll fail to meet the standards of the law because the standard is 100% perfection. And the only person who meets that standard is Jesus. And the only way to be accepted by God is to receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. It's a gift. Just receive it. When Paul writes in there and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," I have no problem embracing that confession. Because apart from God, I'm a mess. And there's no way out except thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, I can be and I am delivered. But that's the confession that the legalists and the Enlightenmentarians don't want to make. Oh, wretched man that I am, they don't want to confess that they're wretched and lost. They can't bring themselves to say that. They would rather stand there like the Pharisee. When the Pharisee and the publican were in the temple, and the Pharisee said, "Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him. Thank you that I'm not like him. I am so good and righteous." And the Pharisee wanted to just keep dancing with the law. And the publican stood there and said, "I am a sinner. Have mercy on me, O Lord." And Jesus said, "He was the one who went home justified." O wretched man that I am. Sometimes it takes a while before we get to where we really realize how in the flesh, in our natural being, how wretched we are. That no matter how much I want to be good and perfect, and no matter how hard I try, I just can't. I'm genetically incapable. I'm sabotaged by my own flesh. I'm handicapped by limitations I can never overcome. Now, there's a part of me that would love to play in the NBA. I would love to be that guy soaring over the rim, delivering the thunderous slam dunk, the roar of the crowd. But I'm only 5'7" on a good day. We don't even have the rim up there. I can barely touch the bottom of the net if I jump up there. I'm 30 years past my physical prime. Don't let that confession get out there. Couldn't do it then either. Doesn't really matter how much I want to. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Unless some miracle happens. If I wake up tomorrow and I'm 6.5 feet tall and 30 years younger, maybe. Doesn't matter how much you want to. In the flesh. And Paul speaks about it from his own experience. I want to do what is right. I want to do the law. And remember from Philippians, when he talks about, you want to talk about in the flesh qualifications? I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was as perfect as you could get according to the law. But I found out I had to throw that all away because it didn't count for a hill of beans. The only thing that counts is Christ. Verse 18, where it says, "To will is present with me, but to perform what is good I do not find." That applies equally to everyone. Across the board. Everyone in the flesh, whether you're a believer, an unbeliever, religious or non-religious, a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, an atheist, whoever, you can want to all you want, but you never perform up to God's standards. Your very nature is sin. Apart from Christ, our very existence is offensive to all that is holy. And you can never be other than what you are unless you are resurrected with Christ. The only transformational power that can do what needs to be done. Unless you die and you're born again, and you're resurrected with Christ. Otherwise, the truth is, every human being is on death row. We're all on death row outside of Christ. We're already condemned to eternal perdition. Just waiting till the end of time for the final sentence to be carried out. Well, how do you get off death row? If you're on death row, how do you get off? You can be pardoned by the governor of your state. Unfortunately, the governor of our state is the law. The law is never going to pardon us. Well, I suppose maybe some well-meaning group of first-year law students could take an interest in our case and dig up some new evidence that would exonerate us in the eyes of God. Except, no such evidence exists. We're guilty. We did it. The only way off a death row is to die. And that's the good news for us. We have died. We died with Christ. He took all our guilt upon Himself, and He died all of our deaths for us. When He died on the cross, it's like all our identity tags were hanging around His neck. As far as the law can see, we died. Right there. So the jurisdiction of the law over us was ended for all time. We're free. We're free to live in Christ. Free to live in His righteousness. And live in His resurrection power. We're free to live forever. Live for eternity. So every year at Easter time here, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a fact of history. But we also celebrate the reality of His resurrection in our hearts and our lives every day. All the time. Ongoing. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Thanks be. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are set free. Set free from the dance with the law. Set free from all religious stuff. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to set you free to go on and celebrate your families or in your homes or whatever you have planned for the rest of the day. Father, we just thank You for the blessing of the resurrection. We can never repay You other than simply to believe it, receive it, and give thanks forever. Thank You for sending Your Son. And Lord, I pray that for any person, the people we know in our lives, our relatives or friends or neighbors who don't know You yet, we pray that the miracle of resurrection would take place in their hearts, even today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.